Geekaholics, it's the Red Table Podcast.
Welcome to Synthaholics. This is your host, David Duncan, and with me is...
Holly Michelle.
Hello, Holly Michelle. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm alive. Staying alive. Staying alive.
Barely staying alive is necessary.
Staying alive is necessary. But I feel like I'm barely staying alive. It's very, very strange.
Yeah. Well, you'll have that when you work three jobs and have a podcast.
Yeah. It's kind of intense. Unfortunately, Aaron could not make it. I think his teacher got mad at him and threw him out of class. He's got detention or something.
Right.
But hopefully everything's going okay with Aaron, and hopefully he'll be back next week. Theoretically, the plan is to talk about Mandalorian, but we don't know. We're going to play it by ear. Hopefully we will. But this week is the week of Thanksgiving, and in keeping with the spirit of Thanksgiving, we were going to talk about Star Trek and things that we are thankful for when it comes to Star Trek, and maybe some personal things in our lives as well that are maybe not related to Star Trek, but related to the podcast itself or other things. That's how kind of mine are going to play out, some of them.
Gotcha.
In a slightly more personal way. Would you like to start with one and we can go back and forth?
Sure. It's so hard to take, you know, an entire idea, like all of the Star Trek series, and kind of try to wrap up what you're thankful for about it. There were a couple of things, you know, obviously I always talk about how it was a wonderful family time for me.
Mm-hmm.
So that definitely is something that I am thankful for about the show. One other thing I was thinking of today was that, you know, I don't know how to put it, I guess. You know, I never really had the opinion that strong women weren't portrayed on film and television. And I'm guessing it's because I watched Star Trek when I was little, you know?
And everyone forgets about Alien and Ghost in the Shell. And
right. Well, I didn't do Alien.
Well, no, but I'm just saying, like, I mean, there's a lot of hype in the media nowadays, like what the new Charlie's Angels movies, like
we're finally getting female strong female, and it's like, no, they've been around. You just haven't been watching them.
Tomb Raider's so, like, been around in video games since the '90s. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. It's just, people are just, I mean, there was it's even crazy. The Tomb Raider movies, Angelina Jolie.
Yep. Yeah. So I never had that perspective. And, you know, I was thinking that it could partly relate to the fact that we're a martial arts family. So, like, your gender didn't decide your skill or intensity.
Oh, it was does. You. You're definitely at disadvantage as a guy because you can get kicked in the nads.
If they're in...
Krav Maga. Isn't it like the tenets of Krav Maga? Like go for the balls?
I don't do Krav Maga. But basically, what I'm saying is that your gender does not decide how intense and how skilled you are.
Oh, sure.
So, I don't know. But I feel like I can attribute it, a lot of it, to the fact that it's such a diverse cast throughout all of the series.
For sure.
So yeah, that's something I'm thankful for, that I never had to feel like I wasn't
represented.
Connecting to characters. Well, I don't want to say represented, because I don't form attachments to females or males. I form attachments to the person who's right, or who's just, or who's a badass. It doesn't matter to me if they're female or male.
I mean, Garak's pretty badass.
But, huh?
He can come up with a million different backstories.
Who?
Garak. He's pretty badass. Man of a thousand backstories.
I was not a fan of that. But yeah, so I never felt that I wasn't represented, but then again, I guess I don't...
Think of it that way.
I don't attach to people because of their gender. I attach to characters because of their character, I guess. So I don't know.
I mean, I agree. I'm not a huge proponent of representation. Like, I don't think I need to clarify that. I mean, I don't think it's a bad thing, but I don't attach to it myself. I mean, I'm more interested in the story and if the characters are interesting, whether or not they're male, female, white, black, tan,
green.
Yeah, I mean, I do prefer them green because I love me some Orions.
I know, but you do.
But I mean, like, that's not really representation. That's just like diversity of alien species in Star Trek, which is great. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, to me, like, story trumps all. Story and characters trump all. Like if they're gay, straight, white, black, you know, take your pick of representation. To me, that doesn't matter in a story. I just need the story to be good and engaging, and the characters to be interesting.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of my take.
And Star Trek gives you all of that.
Absolutely, in stride. So you've got Garrick and Bashir as a gay character way before Culber and Stamets, and then, you know, they kind of like he kind of leaves them for O'Brien. So it's kind of great, you know. Discovery's not as first and everything as it claims it is. But for my thankful thing, they're kind of going to build. But my first thankful thing is, like, my dad kind of instilled the love of Star Trek for me. My dad was a fan ever since the show came on, basically. And, you know, I grew up watching Star Trek on, like, recorded VHS tapes. Like, some of my earliest memories of seeing the movies, of seeing any movie in the movie theater, is probably The Land Before Time. And then the next one's probably a Star Trek movie. So my earliest memory is seeing movies in the movie theater. I think Star Trek IV is one of the earliest ones I remember seeing in the movie theater. And it was a lot of fun seeing the whales and the Klingon ship and time travel and stuff like that. It was great as a kid. So I'm very thankful for my dad and instilling his love of Star Trek in me. And it's something I've pretty much loved my whole life.
Awesome. Another family thing.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be very family oriented, I think, in this episode. Which is Thanksgiving is spent with your family, so that's it works out. What's your next one, Holly?
Oh, it's like I said, it's so hard. I guess, you know, when I was littler, we didn't have a lot of TV time because we were an active family. But it definitely gave me a sense of adventure. You know, discovering new things. And obviously the whole premise of Star Trek is peace between basically everyone. So
let us pass around the peace pipe and get high as fuck.
But I think Star Trek was my first sci-fi show that I ever saw. I can't think of, I mean,
you mean Sequest wasn't your first science fiction show?
Negative. Actually, I think I've only accidentally seen a few episodes of that.
I don't think I've ever seen a full episode of Sequest. I just know it existed, so I had to throw that out there.
Yeah.
I just can't think of it. I mean, there's Lost in Space, which also I didn't really watch. I mean, I've seen bits and pieces of it, but I never watched it really. Mm-hmm. The original Battlestar Galactica, I've never seen a full episode, I don't think. The new Battlestar Galactica, absolutely loved it, but that's way later than Star Trek.
Yeah, I think after we moved to New York, I think we started watching Stargate.
Oh, that's nice. I mean, I loved the movie, Stargate. I had a hard time watching the show because I couldn't imagine MacGyver taking over for Kurt Russell. I mean, it's just like apples and oranges. I'm just like, Kurt Russell is such a badass, and MacGyver's like MacGyver.
Now, my brother loved MacGyver, but I have no personal opinion on him, but I do love Kurt Russell. And I remember him whenever I think of Stargate, I think of him, even though he wasn't on the show.
Exactly. I just really wish that. And then one of the things that kind of bugged me about Stargate was, like, no one could pronounce Wa'uld the same way. Listen to the guy who is one. Pronounce it the way he says it. Everyone said it differently, and it drove me nuts.
Well, that's like, people just pronounce things the way they want to. Like, I don't understand. I don't speak two languages. But if you tell me that the word is banyo, and that's how you say it, I'm going to try to mimic how you say it. I'm not going to say Bano or Bano. I'm going to say baño because that's how you said it to me.
Exactly. So, like, that's how they should be doing in Stargate.
Well, I don't know because, I mean, think about Germans who learn English as their second language. They have an accent. And you can say pancake, and they might not be able to say, they might not be able to mimic you, and it's just because, not necessarily that pancake is a word that they cannot say without an accent.
Nein!
but because of the way that they form words, like, I'm pretty sure it's a lot of the back of the throat, they can't say pancake. You know what I mean? they might say it differently. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I've noticed that because, you know, I've got a coworker who's Irish, and sometimes she can, like, joke around and she can speak with a twang, but she can't mimic the English language, and that's not very different. Huh. But it's just I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, totally off track here.
Yes. This is a very free-form episode.
It is, and people may or may not listen to this episode.
We won't go the full length, I don't think, so they don't have to worry too much
about
that.
It'll be a short one.
It's Thanksgiving.
Enjoy your family and your friends if you're having a Friendsgiving
Torture
instead.
Torture them with this.
Just don't torture indigenous people and take over their lands.
But play that. No, don't play this while you're doing that. You can do whatever you want. Just don't include us in that. So my next one would probably be, let's just skip forward in time. I think I'll do personal ones first and then maybe talk about actual things in Star Trek that I'm thankful. So jumping forward in time substantially, Aaron and I meet at, because I have some Star Trek pictures printed out on my desk, and he's like, oh, that's pretty cool. I like Star Trek too. And like Aaron and I develop a great friendship together, and, he pitches a comic idea, which I thought was really cool. And I was like, hey, well, why don't we just talk about Star Trek while we work on a comic, and let's do a podcast because I love Star Trek podcasts. We should do our own and like make it funny because Star Trek podcasts can tend to be dry. Mm-hmm. And I want to make it more lively and fun and silly and make both of you laugh and all the time scratch your head and go, ew. So, lighten things up a little bit. So I'm very thankful for my love of Star Trek that my dad gave me, so I was able to meet Aaron and start a podcast.
You are on my list too.
Woo!
For it brought us together.
Oh yeah, that's coming up very shortly. I think that's the next one.
Oh well, we'll just discuss it now. So
okay,
David and I met David first. We were at, you know what? I can never remember which convention it was.
Okay, so it was Buffalo Comic Con.
Okay. And it was, 2015 or 16?
Something like that.
Yeah. Maybe 16, because I think
I met you the second day of the convention. So what happened the first day was I was looking at this Jenna Manson. She had like this like art, she like took pictures of herself and like was selling like prints and stuff like that, and I was looking through her stuff and I turn around and I see Dickie and Hobart.
Mm-hmm.
Robbie's couldn't
did you
be
know them
people.
At this time
I had no idea who they were.
And
they were
asking people to stop and sit down and talk to them,
sit down,
right?
Talk to them and play a game. And they
on the podcast.
Yeah, no, they look sort of sketchy. And I was like, eh. I was about to say no and walk away.
Yeah.
I was like, but then I noticed they had microphones. And I'm like, yeah, I wonder if they're a podcast. And I was like, ooh, I should talk to them because they're probably a podcast. But like, if I did not notice the microphones, I would have been not and walked away. And like, so much of my life would be completely different right now.
I tell you what, though, Hobart has like the most inviting face. Like you see him and you just want to talk to him.
Yeah, but Dickie
not so much.
Dickie's like off-putting.
Yeah, a little bit. He's a little more hard.
harder. And you know, like I know on the Couldn't Be Models podcast, Robbie many a times has said that Dickie's facial hair is off-putting, and it definitely is not great. He does not wear.
You know,
facial
I think
hair
it's
well.
Gone.
Yeah, I think I've seen pictures of him on face. I think it is gone, but his facial hair is off-putting.
But at this time,
at the time he had full facial hair, he's off-putting. Like Hobart way more inviting, but it was like between the two of them, like, yeah, it's like they're canceling each other out. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
But I came over to the table while you were talking to them. I went behind the table.
I didn't meet you the second day, though.
No, we didn't meet. So, so I saw you talking to them, and I was like, I saw your Star Trek shirt, and I was like, oh, Star Trek fan. And I can't remember what I grabbed. I think I was like getting money, or
probably,
I think I was getting money
because
I think that's the day I bought a corset. What?
Oh, because you wore the corset the second day, didn't you?
Well, yes, but I didn't wear the one that I bought the second day. I wore one that I already had.
Gotcha.
But anyway, yeah, I saw you, and I was like, oh, that's fun. And I was like, if I stay too long, they're going to ask me to talk, and I'm going to run away now. So
you just knew that I was going to drag you into this somehow.
Maybe I did. Maybe there was just something about you, and I just knew.
Well, ask questions about Star Trek.
And then the next day.
So I met Robbie, and then he was the most inviting out of all the three. We exchanged podcast information. He's like, come back tomorrow at like 3 or something, and you'll be on our podcast. And like I downloaded Couldn't Be Models, listened to the episode like on the way home and back to the convention in the morning the next day. And I met him, and we talked some more, and then I met Holly.
And it was like a pack up time.
Yeah, it was later in the day because it was like after it was like toward the end. It was after I was on the podcast with them, and I had my recorder because I was asking people who like Star Trek. And since you said you like Star Trek, I'm pretty sure you're on that like that Comic Con episode.
I'm pretty sure I was there for the podcast, so we were probably on the same podcast for the Nerdynomicon because I'm pretty sure I was there. Unless I was with Brooke. I could have been with Brooke.
I think you were with Brooke, but I think I stopped and asked you to record because you said you like Star Trek, since I had my mobile recorder.
Yeah, you just had your little...
my Zoom.
Zoom. I was like, it's a Z word. And you just asked me a couple of quick questions, and it was painless.
Good thing it was painless. You came back.
I came back.
You've been on the show for a little over a year now. It's great. Great.
As a regular. Well over a year. Well over a year. It's almost
as a regular.
Yeah.
Well, come summer, it'll be 2 years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I've been here since July.
Yep.
So it's been a while. What else?
So yeah. So it's super thankful that I met you and Robbie, and I kind of like grew the podcast, my podcast awareness of people who are interested in the same kind of thing. So that was super exciting.
Yeah, it does, you know, especially with a culture, the nerd culture, where, you know, people in the past have been alienated and scrutinized for the things that they like. And so typically, people who go to conventions are very friendly and happy to talk and play and have fun. And I know that's not the case with every Star Trek fan, because there are some that are much, much more serious about it.
So serious, which is a lot of times why Star Trek podcasts can be dry at times.
Right, right. But that being said, I think that, you know, Star Trek is something that does bring people together because of these very same things. Like, you know, they don't feel like they have a lot of friends, and then they go to these conventions, or they listen to a podcast, and then you have built in friends when you have such a quote unquote geeky interest.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's like a little, we're like a gang.
Yeah. We take your lunch money.
Oh, do we take your lunch money?
Or I don't know, not really. No, you said it's like a gang, so I was like, oh, yeah, we beat you up and take your lunch money.
I guess that was the wrong verbiage. But, yeah.
Building off of that, because I met you, you introduced me to my fiance, Kaylee.
I did.
About a year and a half later? About a year later?
I don't know that it was a full year. It might have been a full year later, yeah.
It's probably longer than a year.
Because it was a Halloween party. Mm-hmm. So the convention was, what, in September? Fall or spring?
I think it was September.
Okay.
So it was over a year later.
It was over a year. At least a year.
Yeah.
At least. Mm-hmm. It's funny how that stuff works out, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really great. So I'm really thankful for that. And we're due to get married in July. So, yeah, it'll be like the 2-year anniversary of Holly being on the podcast when we get married.
And we're going to have to pump out, we're going to have to record a ton of shows so we don't have to record during that time.
Pump them out! We'll be sweaty.
Yeah.
What's your next one?
You know, I don't know. Again, it comes down to, like, you know, Star Trek and sci-fi in general. It definitely helped grow my imagination.
Absolutely. I think that's kind of where I wanted to go next to. We're like on the same track where this is like, I don't know. It's a nice escape from the real world. And Gene Roddenberry's vision of this future where things get better and humanity comes together and works together for the betterment of mankind. It's a fantastic message, and I'm very thankful for that. And I really wish our world leaders would look at Star Trek seriously. And just, like, aspire to this. Like, stop this warring and the pity bickering, and just, let's just come together. And I said come together.
Come together.
Right now. It's just, I don't know. We need to come together and just get over all this selfishness. We need to work together and not be at odds with each other. I don't know. We need to put aside the fighting and just, I don't know, be kind to each other, love each other. And Star Trek shows a future where, like, you know, that's hopefully a reality. And hopefully we're working toward that. I hope we'll get there one day. It's I'm thankful for that vision and that message and how hopeful that is. And usually most science fiction coming out nowadays is dystopian and sad. And that's dystopian is fun. It's fun, but I'm scared we're moving that way and not in the hopeful direction. I would really like us to move in the hopeful direction, not the dystopian one. Dystopian's fun for fiction, but let's move in reality towards Star Trek, please.
Well, I mean, as you said, most sci-fi, it does, and, you know, have that kind of as an end goal. Sometimes it's a good thing, and sometimes it's a bad thing. And obviously, there is still corruption in the Federation. So,
I'm scared Discovery is going to dystopian future, and Picard looks like it's the beginning of this dystopian future. So, I'm a little bit sad Star Trek's starting to get into dystopia.
Well,
maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that's not what it is, but it sure as hell looks like it. Just saying.
Well, I hope that if it is, that it's written well, and that you are at least able to enjoy.
If it's written,
you're going to hate it, but hopefully you'll be able to enjoy it.
You're going to hate it. Thanks for the vote of confidence, Holly. Yeah,
I hope you find things in it you like if that is the route they take, because,
like I said earlier, as long as the characters are good and the story is good, that's all I really need. You know, I might have a little bit of, like, you know, minor gripes if it's dystopian, but as long as it's engaging, interesting, and fun, that's mostly what matters. Like, if it's not 100% or Gene Roddenberry's vision, sure, whatever. They're going to try and get it back on track, because Michael Burnham always ends up fixing everything. So, mm-hmm. I mean, like, they're going to get back there. That's going to be the end goal, is that it's going to be, you know, kumbaya again.
I hope that it's not like they get to the end of the season and all is well and it's very abrupt.
Oh, it's going to be. Remember the Klingon War?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It was really...
Remember the end of season 2? They beat control and then they still go into the future anyway.
It was a letdown. I mean, at least going into the future, it was like...
They had no reason to go into the future. They could have just stopped.
At least it was a cliffhanger in the sense that, okay, now we don't know what's going to happen, but we're intrigued or we're pissed off. But the first one, it was just like, oh, everything's great now.
Yeah,
and you're like, is there going to be another season? What there's no indication of another season.
It just wraps up in a happy bow, and it made no sense. Season two, I mean, there is that intrigue, but it makes not a whole lot of sense because they had defeated Control before they could have stopped. I guess they have to go find Michael's mom. So she's going to drag all of her crewmates along with her, who aren't that important anyway, because it's the Michael Burnham show. No, but I'm excited for Picard, and I'm really hoping season three of Discovery will be good, and at least we get to see fast-running Morns.
A fast-running Morn?
Yeah, Morn. You don't know who Morn is?
No.
Remember in the episode we just watched with Garak, he was like that weird alien who was like looking at the bar closing. He looked real sad. He's like always sitting there at the bar. He never says anything.
But nope, I really don't.
You need to look up more, like Deep Space Nine Morn. Look him up. I think he's in every single episode. He's usually there in the background somewhere or at the bar.
Is it him specifically?
Well, it's I don't know what
or is it his species.
It's his species, but I don't know what the Morn species is called. So in the trailer for season three, they show a fast running Morn, which is very intriguing since Morn mostly just sits at a bar and doesn't look like he moves very fast at all.
Maybe that's his release. Is he gets drunk so that he can slow down?
Oh, gotcha. He's normally running real fast, and the thing is that. The joke in Deep Space Nine is that he won't shut up, and he's really annoying because he talks all the time, but you never actually see him talk on the show, which is pretty funny.
Oh, that's funny.
But I'm thankful for Morn, because he's this great alien. He sits there, never says a thing, and he's just a fun alien, and he just sits there. He drinks, and he knows what's going on.
Hey, that's what we do!
And that's what we do. I'm Synthaholics. And apparently he's got multiple stomachs, which he can hide his latinum in, which is pretty cool.
Ew.
Yeah, he can just eat latinum and store it in what carries his money on him.
I'll bet you he could ferment his own wine in there, and then he wouldn't have to go to the bar.
No, he's using it as his bank.
Yeah, but why use it as a bank when you can use it to make wine?
But he could just barfs out his money, and he just pays people. It's great.
Oh,
no one can steal his money if it's inside him.
Okay, my turn. So this one's probably just stupid and obvious, but I am so thankful for Star Trek because we now have other sci-fi shows because of it. Like, maybe not because of it, but the fan base for Star Trek had to be interested in other shows and taking interest in other space adventures definitely allowed not only Star Trek to continue on, but other space shows to grow.
Absolutely. I mean, Ronald D. Moore, who had a huge hand in Next Generation and Deep Space Nine, after basically they didn't want anything to do with him on Voyager, he left and recreated Battlestar Galactica. And I love the first two seasons of his Battlestar Galactica series. It's brilliant. He dropped the ball a little bit in the second two seasons, but I mean, it's still a well-written show for the most part and was entertaining and fun and good science fiction.
Nice. I have yet to actually start it. I think it is on Amazon Prime, but not all of the seasons.
Oh, it's so good. I really love the old Battlestar Galactica. I would love to actually get into talking about Babylon 5 a little bit. And maybe...
I heard Babylon 5 was awful.
No, Babylon 5 is great. It's surprisingly in common with Deep Space Nine, which is like really strange. But no, it's a good science fiction. I loved Babylon 5 when it came on TV back in the 90s and was sad when it ended and really sad that the spinoff show Crusade was awful.
Spinoff of what?
The spinoff of Babylon 5 called Crusade.
Oh.
And I really wanted to like it and it was really, really bad. It only lasted one season.
You love it when you really want to love something and then it's like, oh.
Well, I loved Babylon 5, and they said it was a spinoff, so I was super excited for it. Then it was, like, awful. But then Firefly was great, and it got canceled. I love Firefly. I'm thankful for Firefly, because maybe Joss Whedon had some inspiration from Star Trek or Star Wars. Probably Star Wars.
Perhaps.
He's very Han Solo-esque, Malcolm Reynolds.
But that's a post-apocalyptic kind of scenario there in Firefly.
Not really. It's north and the south. It's not really post-apocalyptic. He kind of got the idea after reading a Civil War book where the outer colonies that aren't technological are the south and the inner colonies are like the north with technology and stuff.
I mean, I guess that makes sense, but I didn't view it that way. I kind of pictured it as, you know, the human race spreading out over the galaxy and finding new home away from the corruption.
That's what I saw. Earth dying, I guess, is dystopian, which is the future it's set in. Earth is dead, but I mean, there's still thriving, beautiful worlds in the Firefly universe.
I guess that's true, but our Earth was
used up.
It wasn't Armageddon, but it was, you know.
We just used it as much as it could be used, and then people went away.
Yeah. So I don't know. But yeah, loved Firefly. Obviously, Doctor Who, and Star Trek have almost been around the same amount of time.
Yeah,
like it's very close.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
I'm thankful for all the different spaceships. I mean, one thing that Discovery has done really well is there's a ton of spaceships. I just wish they'd light them so we could actually look at them. But there are tons and tons of spaceship designs, which we get to see once the Eagle Moss ships. So like. There's tons of Discovery ships in the Eagle Moss ships. Even though you couldn't really get a good look at them on the show, you can get the little figurines of the ships, and they're absolutely beautiful. I don't own any because I don't have room for anything like that. But they're beautiful little ships, and I've seen people do unboxing videos of them online. I'm like, ooh, I like ships. I like spaceships. Spaceships are pretty. Spaceships are my race cars.
There you go.
Vroom vroom, but with the pew pews.
Well, it's funny because I was thinking about not necessarily the ships, but the graphics earlier when I was trying to decide, like, okay, what am I really thankful for?
You're thankful for special effects?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, granted, in the older series, it's harder to do things, but even in the 60s, they found ways to do things, and I love theater, and I love film, and they do some wonderful things, even if it looks a little jimmy-rigged, but...
Hey, I mean, even the 60s Star Trek show was cutting-edge effects for the time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. So, it's just I don't want to say it's a marvel to behold, but it is. It's very fascinating, and for somebody like me, that's something that I can appreciate. It actually makes me really appreciate other humans because of their skill, their dedication to learn that skill, their execution of it. That's why I can't watch certain like genres of film because I start thinking about the people behind the scenes, like horror films. I can't watch them because I'm like, who in their right mind thought of this? And wow, that actor is like so suffering right now. Like, can you imagine what's going on in their head? I can't watch them. Because then I just get so distracted.
Have you watched Star Trek Discovery? Poor Doug Jones. He's got to suffer every single time he puts on that makeup.
But you know what? He makes that makeup his bitch.
He does. Like, but I mean, like,
I may have once or twice, I may have gotten sidetracked by a thought about the makeup or something. But he, I don't want to say he embodies his character. He portrays it well enough to where I don't think about the makeup.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, I mean, he's got it worse than anyone else in Star Trek, maybe, because, I mean, like, he's just fully encased in, like, super...
Oh, that's his career, though.
He's
known for it.
Yeah, he's known for his, like, his extensive prosthetics and things, but, I mean, like, Garak didn't have to wear that many prosthetics. Like, none of the Cardassians, none of the Klingons. Well, pre-Discovery. Post-Discovery, the Klingons have to wear probably just almost as much as he does.
I would imagine that he would be more comfortable behind all the makeup than on camera as himself. Does that make sense? Like, I feel like he's been doing this for so long, that's probably cake to him.
That's his normal.
That's his normal, yeah. And I'm thankful for Doug Jones because all of Doug Jones does is amazing. So
yeah, he's very unique in how he does all his acting and all his characters. He's fantastic. Thank you, Doug Jones, for being Doug Jones and being amazing.
Right.
Pan's Labyrinth. I mean, that's just beautiful, beautiful work he did and all the things he does. Never saw The Shape of Water, though, but I don't know about girls banging fishes. But
it was.
And Kaylee doesn't like fish, so I don't think we would watch it together.
So Kaylee and I watched it together, actually.
Oh, really? You watched it?
Yes, and I completely forgot about the fish thing. Seriously. So we were having a movie night, and I brought home The Shape of Water, and I don't know. We talked about it afterwards. I think she was able to, like, objectively discuss it, but... Yeah, like halfway through the film, we probably stopped for more wine, and then it occurred to me that she hates fish. And she was like, I can't remember what exactly she said, but it was like, I mean, it's not that bad because it's like...
Fish man.
Humanoid, but it was... The film itself...
Fish banging a chick, though.
But it was definitely non-conventional, and very Beauty and the Beast, but... But not really. I don't know.
Did he turn into a prince?
No.
No, okay.
But they run away together. And so, like, I can't remember what happens, but he's got this magic power. And do you want me to tell you?
I've never seen it. You can tell me. I'm probably never going to see it.
Well, basically, they end up running away. Well, not running away, but, like, swimming away together. And I'm pretty sure he magically gives her gills or something. Or no, she had gills.
She's a little mermaid.
I don't know. She had a weird... I don't remember. Apparently, I don't remember.
Just like the Matrix.
What do you mean, just like the Matrix?
Well, you see, I just remember when we watched the Matrix, you were just like, I don't remember any of this stuff that happened in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty good.
Kaylee and I could have been talking shit about the movie, and that might be why I don't remember.
could be.
But yeah, I felt really bad. That's like, wow, you're a shitty friend that you brought this movie over to watch. I couldn't believe I did that. I was so upset.
You brought home a fish movie.
Huh? Yeah. Terrible friend. I am not winning any awards.
And the best friend award goes to...
Not Holly.
And there was much crying and gnashing of teeth. All in all, I'm super thankful that my dad got me into Star Trek, that led me to loving Star Trek, to meeting Aaron, to wanting to start a Star Trek podcast, to doing the convention circuit as much as I can. I love going to the conventions and meeting new people and talking about Star Trek with them, how that led me to you and how that led me to Kaylee, my fiance. And I don't know, and then now that we've all kind of gone our separate ways, I'm thankful for the podcast that puts us together once a week to talk about things that we really enjoy, Star Trek mostly, and other science fiction things, and science fiction is obviously a passion for the three of us. So, you know, I'm thankful for all that come together, and thankful for the listeners, for people who like found us and just like, oh, what is this? Let's listen to this. And people who continue to listen to us, you know, 4 years later, like it's boggling, you know, that people like us and enjoy our content. And I'm super thankful for all of you guys.
And think of all the people that you've actually had on the show that are tied to Star Trek.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we had Walter Koenig on, like, by episode 9. I got to meet Nichelle Nichols and William Shatner. William Shatner, I didn't ask him to talk because he doesn't really do podcast appearances for, like, people he doesn't know. But Nichelle Nichols talked to us. We met J.G. Hertzler. He spoke with us and recorded with us on the podcast. I met Tony Todd. Earlier this year, he spoke with me on the podcast. Mm-hmm. We've become friends with some of the Star Trek Continues people. We've had James Kerwin on several times, Kip Lee Brown on a couple times, Lisa Hansel on once, Vic Mignogna on once, Michelle Specht on a couple times. Like,
you've had the Klingon Pop Warrior on.
The Klingon Pop Warrior
is really hot right now.
She is super hot. She's blowing up all over the thing. But the thing is that's another fun chain of events, because we've had on Jerrica and Natalie Schlittman, who I followed Jerrica for her cosplay. She did Star Trek cosplay. I asked her to come on the show because she went out karaokeing, not even on at a convention, just doing karaoke in Star Trek uniform. I'm like, hey, come on the show, you're obviously a fan. She's like, I don't know, maybe talk to my friend first. And so I got to talk to her friend. Natalie knows the Klingon Pop Warrior. She got us in contact with Klingon Pop Warrior. We had her on the show within like 2 days of finding out that we knew someone who knew the Klingon Pop Warrior. It was amazing.
And that was years ago.
Yeah, and I've done Extra Life a couple of times with Klingon Pop Warrior. Unfortunately, with working multiple jobs this year, I did not get to do it. I did not get to do Extra Life with her this year. Hopefully next year I'll be able to carve up some time and do some Extra Life games with her. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just so many people that we've met through the show, you know, other just people who listen to the show, Joe DePinto, he's been on the show a couple times. He's in politics in Yelm, and you know, Aaron and I are like, Joe DePinto for president. We need someone who's in charge of the country who has understands Star Trek and understands the positive message and how we can make our country better by applying Star Trek standards and being kind to people and coming together as a world to solve common problems.
But you know, even though so your leader can have that, but
we need Congress. You know, it's the whole thing. But I mean, like, maybe he can inspire people. You know, more people in Star Trek and government can only be a good thing.
Yeah.
And if anyone else is in government in Star Trek, let us know. Reach out to us. We'd love to have you on the show, talk to you about your favorite episode, and hear your thoughts on Star Trek and government. Because we've always loved our discussions with Joe.
But yeah.
Yeah.
There wasn't a whole lot else that I really wanted to talk about, you know?
Yeah.
At least not that I can think of right now.
Well, I mean, you know, let's keep it short and sweet this week. Everyone's got needs to see... Get ready for Thanksgiving, making food, working overtime.
Ooh, tell us what you're going to have for Thanksgiving feast.
I have no idea.
No idea?
I'm working on Thanksgiving.
Oh.
I'm going over to Kaylee's family's house after I'm done working. I'm sure there'll be the regular, you know, Thanksgiving food, like rolls and turkey and gravy and potatoes and... probably cranberry sauce. I mean, I'm sure all the traditional things will be there.
we wrote up our menu a couple weeks ago, and I slowly gathered stuff,
mac
things
and
that I could stock up on, so that we didn't go blow a ton of money on Thanksgiving food. I broke it up, and I made these awesome. I'm calling them cranberry spice bites.
Oh, how much crack did you put in them?
All the crack. People probably don't know. I'm gluten-free. And they have these, Life's Good has these snickerdoodle cookies that don't taste like snickerdoodles at all. They are like cinnamon cookies, and they're very tasty. They're almost like molasses cookies, but
You see, that's the problem with snickerdoodles. They look like they taste like cinnamon, and they don't taste like cinnamon. And that's why I've always been not happy with
You don't like snickerdoodles?
I do not.
Oh, they're deceiving. Snickerdoodle is my favorite, but this actually does not taste like a snickerdoodle.
They don't taste at all how they look like they would taste.
I think I disagree with that statement.
I don't know. I love cinnamon, and they don't taste like anything.
Well, it's cinnamon sugar. It's not like they're cinnamon cookies.
Yeah, but molasses sugar cookies are very.
It's basically
cinnamon.
A sugar cookie that you roll in cinnamon sugar before you bake it. That's all it really is.
But it doesn't even taste like a sugar cookie.
I don't know.
Maybe I've just had really bad snickerdoodles. I don't know.
I've had really amazing snickerdoodles. Okay.
Uh huh.
So this snickerdoodle, again, it's like more like a molasses cookie. And so I broke them up and I made them my crust. And I made like a generic no-bake cheesecake filling, which is just cheese, cream cheese, whipped cream, lemon, and sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And made little mini cheesecakes in these little tiny mini muffin or cupcake liners. And then I made like a chutney, like a cranberry chutney with cranberries, brandy, orange peel, and cinnamon.
And a cup full of gluten.
And lemon juice. A cup full of gluten.
You add your own gluten. You don't like getting the gluten already in it. You add
right,
your own.
Right, right, yeah. Right. That's like, I'm a gluten snob. And I put that on top, and oh man, it's so good. So I'm excited. That's one of the things that I'm making for Thanksgiving dinner that I'm super excited for.
Last year I made molasses sugar cookies, and we're not having those this year because I haven't had time to make them this year. So I do know that's not going to be there.
Aw, what's a molasses sugar cookie?
It's the best thing in the world, and they're so good. It's my grandfather's recipe, and I'm sad I didn't get to make them.
Ah, so I've good. Never heard of one, so.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe I'll have to make them when you're in town for the wedding.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
They're so good. But let us know what you guys are thankful for on our Facebook page. You want to tweet at us some tweets that what you're thankful for at Synthaholic Duo. Or on Reddit. I mean, we don't have a subreddit or anything. If you guys want to start up one and say what you're thankful for, you're more than welcome to. And let us know on Facebook or wherever you can find us so that we'll know is there. Because we only
pretty
check
much
it every
we're
now
on
and
Facebook. Yeah, talk to us on Facebook.
We're mostly on Facebook. You can check out our group and the page. We're at facebook.com/groups/synthaholics. You can email us at synthaholics@yahoo.com. You can check out the website at synthaholics.com. And I personally am at David_J_Duncan on Twitter, Aaron's at Blackbird2004, and Holly's at Lunar Thistle. Check
I don't
out
tweet very much.
She does not. But,
I try, but I just don't.
You should retweet our put the podcast, and then that way more people see it, Holly. And
nobody really follows me anyway.
Well, maybe more people will if they start seeing you're tweeting out Synthaholic stuff. Or maybe they'll unfollow you. I mean, it could work either way. We don't know. but you know, all the listeners who are on Twitter, go ahead and follow us and retweet that stuff as well. Let people know that you love the Synthaholics. And if you love us in other ways, you feel free to check out our Patreon, patreon.com/Synthaholics. If it was a buck or two, it just helps keep the podcast going. We have yearly and monthly charges to keep the podcast on with the website, the domain, as well as our file hosting for the files themselves every single week. So check those out if you're so inclined. I hope you guys are having a wonderful Thanksgiving with your families and friends and snickerdoodles.
Or away from your families and
or
friends.
Away in a solitude in a cabin by yourself, but listening to the backlog of Synthaholics because we're your best friends. However that works. However you want to enjoy your Thanksgiving, we hope you're enjoying it your way, like Burger King. Thank you all for listening. Thank you, Holly, for joining us on this week of reflecting and thanks. And we hope you enjoyed our some of our personal stories of like what we're thankful for and how Star Trek related to us and how it brought us together and helped us find love.
I have one more thing I'm thankful for.
You can say it!
Let me say it. It's not related to Star Trek, guys. So sorry about that. But by the time this show airs, my husband will be back from his deployment. So I'm so excited. I'm very happy to have my best friend back. And
your
the dogs are going
back.
To have more than one human to annoy. So that'll be great. But I'm very
Holly's excited. Missing so much hair. She's got clumps missing. It's very obvious the dogs are like driving her insane.
Actually, that is a fact. I've been to the doctor about it.
It is a fact. Oh my God.
David didn't even know. He's just making jokes, but for real.
speaking of your head and how's your concussion going?
I am a lot better. So the last 2 days I haven't been at work. So let's see. I had my concussion on the 12th.
Still wearing both eye patches.
I had my concussion on the 12th, and a week later, I was still very light sensitive. And then, what day is it? Today's Sunday. I worked Friday, and I still wore glasses while I was on the computer. Today, I'm on my computer, and I'm not having issues. So that's good.
That's fantastic. And we're thankful for Holly's concussion feeling better. Head's feeling better. Her brain pain! Brain pain!
Yeah.
Brain pain is lessening. So that's good. You know, maybe Garrick helped cure her, even though she didn't enjoy the episode.
Maybe. Pseudo-healing from
seeing his brain pain.
Maybe.
All right. Well, thank you all so much for listening. Live long and prosper, one and all. We'll cry till we laugh, and we'll bullshit our pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever had. Oh, we're still close.
Boy, to my boy, come fix still me a drink.
We're starting that third for our pink
and
the shake.
And I'll cry till we laugh. And we'll both shit our pants.
Oh, we're
why
thankful
are you not
for Warp 11. We're doing the Warp 11. We've had them on the show before. And we're thankful that they let us use their music on the show. I am so horrible. I'm a horrible person. Well, this will be in the outtakes.
Oh, man.
Do you know any other Warp 11 songs? Like Jerk My Kirk?
Oh, yeah.
I've listened to a few of their songs.
I love Jerk My Kirk.
They're funny. They're just not my kind of songs.
They are funny. It's just, I mean, since we're the irreverent Star Trek podcast, I figured the irreverent Star Trek band would be perfect music for Synthaholics.
Yeah. I mean,
they're really irreverent. The hologram song takes it to a whole new level. Oh, my God.
You know, it's fun. They do make fun songs.
They are very fun. I love Warp 11. They're great. We need to have Carl Miller back on the show. Maybe we'll have him on for a Picard episode or Discovery Season 3. I really miss Carl Miller. He's great. We've had him
Is he part of Warp 11?
He's the singer.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And bassist. Bassist.
That's fun. Yeah. That'd be cool. I was a singer in a band, so.
Oh, yeah, you can commiserate with him.
Yeah, exactly.
He said the funniest Facebook post. He was on sabbatical, and like every single day of a sabbatical, he had pictured of him with his arms around his knees, all folded up, and his head down, or his head on his hands, like acting like he was hating life.
Uh-huh.
And then he every single day it was great. He had like this thing where he's like hating life, and it's like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm away from work. And then he took a picture like his first day back at work. He's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm back at work.
Like a thankful that I'm back at work kind of thing.
No, it's like, oh my God, I can't believe I wasted my sabbatical by being unhappy about being away from work. Yeah.
Oh, I see.
It was a giant joke. It was really funny.
I get it now.
Yeah, it's pretty good. But we need to have him on the show. That'd be fantastic.
That'd be cool. I've only met a few of your guys' buddies. A couple of the guys from Trek Yards.
Yeah.
And
Trek Yards.
Jerrica and it's Jen, right? The Klingon Pop Warrior.
Yeah.
Her name is Jen. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like there's somebody else I met. I think I've spoken to Guy Davis a couple of times.
Yeah, you've spoken to Guy Davis a couple of times.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need to have some of the other people on when you're on.
Yeah.
Hangry.
Yeah.
Hungry like the wind.
There's you might like it. There's a gluten-free pizza that is it's called Cauliflower. That's the brand.
Oh, cauliflower is disgusting.
No, but the crust doesn't taste like cauliflower at all. It has a really nice texture, though. It's, like, flat, but it's chewy.
Mm-hmm.
But if you leave it in there for a little longer, it gets crispy. Like a crispy... I don't know how you like your pizza crust, but... It does not taste like cauliflower.
Mm. Well, that's good.
It's very good.
Because cauliflower... I've had the mashed potato substitute cauliflower. It's supposed to be like mashed potatoes, but cauliflower, and it was vile.
Yeah. It's hard, especially when people try to pass it off as one thing, because then you go in expecting one thing, you know?
Oh, yeah. It was just, I couldn't do it.